It's time for the 49ers Rush Podcast. Here's your host, John Chapman.
What is up, faithful? This is the 49ers Rush Podcast. I'm your host, as always, John Chapman, coming to you live from Miami. And I just want to say a couple things. One, the atmosphere down here is nuts. But two, sorry about the show yesterday. There were some mix-ups with the audio. The internet cut out halfway through, so I went ahead and pulled that video. And, you know, I'm probably going to have two episodes up today, but I wanted to make sure that we got one out early just in case that was, you know, high quality and I could get to a lot of questions because here's the thing. My email and Twitter and all those things is blowing up with so many questions, and there's a lot of content out there that I get it. There's 24 hours news coverage on NFL and ESPN and all that stuff. They're all down there nonstop, and they're talking. That's great. But we need our information from people that watch the games and from people that actually know what they're talking about and spend time with both of these teams in film. There's so many talking heads right now. It's kind of rough. Like, I woke up early this morning, turned on the TV, and I was like, man, I don't think I can listen to these guys anymore. Yes, I am up very, very early. But again, I wanted to make sure that I got you guys an episode. We're going to be, you know, down on South Beach. We've got the Frank Gore meeting today at El Dorado 305. On South Beach. So if you guys want to come, the link is in the bio or the description wherever you're watching this. And I know it's earlier than normal. I get that, but it's a special week. And I want to make sure that we have the content available for you guys. As always, if you guys have questions, please tag me on there and we'll jump into those. But what I wanted to do, something that's a little bit different and we haven't done yet, I want to look at the overall offense and defense versus each other and go through the quality of players, because the national narrative is this: Patrick Mahomes, Patrick Mahomes, Patrick Mahomes, Patrick Mahomes, Patrick Mahomes. And I get it. If you want to stay with the narrative that he is the, quote, best player on the field for either team Super Bowl Sunday, that's fine. You can make that argument. I get it. 11 touchdowns, no interceptions in his playoff career. Highlight reel waiting to happen. All those things. But here's what's crazy is once you get past him, things change dramatically. So what I want to do real quick is look at the overall grades from Pro Football Focus and kind of break down all 11. Let's do the starting 11 for the Kansas City offense versus the starting 11 for the 49ers defense. And it doesn't take long to kind of see exactly the way this offense and defense is built for the Kansas City Chiefs. They're almost identical, and it is super, super top heavy. It topples over, man. It doesn't make any sense. Now, I understand Pro Football Focus grades. They all come, you take them with a grain of salt. I totally get that. But what we keep seeing is just super top heavy. So at the very top, you have Patrick Mahomes. He's got a 90.6, you know, elite grade. You want to say he's the best quarterback in the NFL? I think that's a legitimate argument that you can make. Obviously, you've got people like Lamar Jackson up there as well. That's fine. So he's got a 90.6. The next highest rated player for the Chiefs on offense is Schwartz, who I think is their best player. He's probably the best right tackle in the NFL this year. I don't think it would be very difficult to argue against that. So you've got these two top guys, and then they've got their two skill players, right? Kelce is an 86.0 and Tyreek Hill 83.7. So you have those guys kind of rounding out the top tier. They have these four studs, right? Mahomes, Schwartz, Kelce, Hill. So those are the guys that they're going to try to revolve their entire offense around. But after those four, it is a cliff. There's literally nothing else. You go from an 83.7, the next highest rated player, and again, this is in the 70.6 is their left tackle, Fisher. And it just keeps going worse and worse from that, 70.3 Watkins. So those are the only players for this entire offense that are 70 and above, and they're barely making the cut. So that's six players now that we've talked about on their offense, and you can just see how it drops. Now, their offensive line is really, really bad. 67.4 for Wiley, their left guard. Ryder, 63.5. And Duvernay-Tardif, 59.4. The lowest rated player for either team is their right guard. And guess who he's going to be going against all game? DeForest Buckner and Eric Armstead. That right guard for the Chiefs, that is the weakness. Now, you jump into the backfield, which they do have a fullback, which they use sometimes. Sherman, 63.3, but they're going to be in mostly four wide sets. So that's going to bounce around. And again, you know, they move everything around for the wide receivers. But their running back, Damian Williams, he's got a 65.1 grade. They do not like to run the ball. And, you know, if you want to talk about why Andy Reid has never won a Super Bowl, even though he's been so close so many times, is because they just throw the damn ball all the time. They never control the narrative. They are always just, hey, we're going to outscore you. They play checkers while 49ers are playing chess, because it's not just about putting points on the board. It's about controlling tempo. It's about controlling, the time of possession, giving your defense rest. You don't have to score 40 points to win all the time, because eventually somebody's going to outscore you. Sometimes you can win a game 16-3. Something along those lines. They can't do that. And if you look at the running back, again, just this, I think, is kind of a microcosm of this matchup. Okay, you look at the Damian Williams has a 65.1 grade. All four running backs for the San Francisco 49ers grade way past him. Okay, Matt Breida 68.2 on the year. Tevin Coleman 71.2 on the year. Jeff Wilson Jr. 72.9 on the year. Raheem Mostert 81.8. So all four of our tailbacks rank way ahead of them. And then, of course, Kyle Juszczyk, he's 72.6. So you could say all five of the people that play in the San Francisco 49ers backfield rank ahead of every single running back that the Chiefs have. And so you stop and you look and you can just see right off the bat four studs for the Kansas City Chiefs on that offense. And then after that, it's just a bunch of Jags. Just a guy. That's what we would all like. You've got your studs whenever you're coaching and you're building your roster and you're moving your guys around. And then after you get them in place, it's like, well, we don't really have anything left. We got to have 11. Let's put somebody out there. So let's just throw them out there. It's a bunch of Jags. Here's the deal. Their interior three, Wiley, Ryder, and Duvernay-Tardif, would not. I think Wiley could start for half the teams in the league, maybe. But Ryder and Duvernay, they would not start for 25 teams in the NFL. They are literally just guys that are in there. And what's their assignment this week? They have to go against the best, not second, not one of, the best defensive line in the entire NFL. So that's one of those things that it's interesting to me. And it's not talked about in the narrative, because you can't go on ESPN and start talking about right guards and left guards, and nobody wants to see that. What do they want to see? They want to see deep passes. They want to see speed. They want to see touchdowns, all that. But they're missing out. For those of you noticing, I am borrowing a studio here in Miami of a great friend of mine. So I apologize for the Miami flair. But, hey, man, we got to get content out. Yesterday, you know, there were a lot of mishaps with the audio at the live session. And so I wanted to make sure that we get some great stuff out to you guys. Now, I will say this. Last night was nuts. It was an absolute blast. All the people that came out, cannot say thanks enough. I think we had a total of 37 people that came out and hung out at the Playwright Irish Pub. It was an absolute blast. Got a lot of pictures. I'm going to be throwing those up on the media today. And we're not done. We are not done, because we've got another big event today. And if you are listening live, if you are in South Beach, please go buy some tickets. We still have a few left. And again, it's only $5 if you use the promo code RUSH, RUSH, on the link to buy the tickets. It's at the El Dorado 305 or I Love 305. We're going to be a blast. And Frank Gore stopping by, signing some autographs. It's going to be crazy right there on Ocean Drive. And the atmosphere down here has been great. There is no doubt there is a huge bifurcation between the fan bases here in South Beach. If you are out when the sun is up, there are definitely more Chiefs fans. But as soon as that sun goes down, it is Niners fans galore. I don't think we got back in until about 4:30 our time here, because Miami's just a little bit different. Now, I'm trying to milk this trip for everything that it's worth and just live it up and have a great time. But yeah, they stay open late. I will say that down here. Shout out to Waffle House, man. 24 hours, that is an absolute savior. Now, I do want to take a quick second before we jump over to the 49ers defense, and we have a new sponsor that wanted to reach out and get a part, you know, get a chunk of this Super Bowl coverage, and that's Flea Flicker. So a lot of you guys know I also work with Eat Sleep Fantasy, which is, you know, a year-round fantasy web podcast and all that stuff. That's kind of how I got my start right after the Niners stuff, and it got a lot of traction. But here's the thing. For all those people that play fantasy football, we all do. It's an absolute blast. Everything in fantasy is moving to dynasty coverage. So instead of just redrafting your team every year and starting from scratch, you get to keep your team. So whenever you do fantasy football, move to the Flea Flicker app, which is 100% free, and you get to keep your team. You can trade draft picks 3 years down the line. It just adds a whole new element where fantasy football never ends. There's no offseason because you can still trade just like the NFL does. Let's say you want to trade guys like Tyreek Hill, or you want to trade for a 49ers like Jalen Hurd. You've got 20-plus person rosters, taxi squads, multi-team trades. It's an absolute blast. And one of the things that makes Flea Flicker so great is you can customize everything. 125 scoring categories, 12 NFL positions. There's victory points. There's so many ways that you can change everything. And again, 100% free Flea Flicker. Here's what you do. You go to fleaflicker.com/49ers. Again, that's Flea Flicker, FLICKER.com, 49ers, 49ERS. Head over there today, and let's say you have your team and your league's always done ESPN regular. Guess what? One click. You just go to fleaflicker.com/49ers and click transfer league. You just copy your ESPN or wherever your league is, your league address in there. It transfers all the information over, done in like 5 seconds, completely free. That is fleaflicker.com, your home for all fantasy dynasty coverage. I've been using it for 3+ years. I am a big fan of theirs. So anyway, go check that out, fleaflicker.com/49ers. Okay, so let's jump now, and let's talk about the 49ers defense. So let's do the same practice. We're going to do this for all four units. It might be a little bit of a long episode. I don't care. I want to talk football, and I want to talk about the actual players that are going to be playing the games. So we had the top four players, and then there was nobody above a 70 grade. They all disappeared after that, right? Now the 49ers defense, which will be going against the Chiefs, obviously. Here we go. Let's start at the top. Richard Sherman, 90.2 grade, elite, elite, gave up one passing touchdown all year the first week of the season, and that was to a running back in the flats. You could argue it wasn't his scheme, whatever. Eric Armstead, 90 grade, elite. Bosa, 88.7, elite. So you've got already, you've got your three players that are 88.7 or higher. You get Pro Football Focus. I understand it's not, you know, everything, but it does matter. Then you go back to the safety position and Jimmy Ward. I really do think that Jimmy Ward is going to be one of the key players in this game. I think it comes down to three guys. Jimmy Ward is the safety. Next up is Kaywan Williams in our nickel package, who's going to be playing lights out. He 81.6 grade. And then you've got Jaquaski Tartt, 64.5. Now, here's the thing. Those three players, I kind of went out of order numerically, but I do believe that triangle between the slot corner and both safeties, Jaquaski Tartt, Jimmy Ward, and Kaywan Williams, I really do think those three guys, they are going to have the impact. They're going to have the impact that it's going to... They need to shut down the Kansas City Chiefs. If those three guys have a good game, 49ers win this handedly. I really do believe that. Now let's jump back to the way the grade should be, right? DeForest Buckner, 80.8. D. Ford, 77.8. Emmanuel Mosley, 71.1. There's just so much. And then you get to the linebackers, and that's kind of what the crazy part is. You know, the linebacker grades aren't what you would think they would be. You know, Dre Greenlaw's got a 67.9. Fred Warner's got a 66. Quan Alexander's got a 60.4. So they're definitely ranked a lot lower than they should be from Pro Football Focus. But it doesn't matter because you look at the entire team and there's just so much. Because, again, Armstead, Buckner, Bosa, Williams, Ward, Sherman, gosh, and then D Ford, if you want to throw him in there with the 77.8, like that's over half our defense is ranked in the elite to great category. You know, they've got four studs. We've got seven. So whenever they're out there, and again, once you get off of our studs, you talk about Mosley or you're talking about Tart or Quan or Drake Greenlaw or Warner, there's no weaknesses. Right now, our biggest weakness on our team as far as like scoring goes and grading goes, it's Jaquaski Tart, who is not a weakness. So again, you just look at the balance. It's a consistent balance, and this defense is special for a reason. They've given up the fewest passing yards of any team in the NFL in the past 7 years. You can go all the way back to the start of the Legion of Boom and all that stuff. Guess what? We allowed fewer passing yards than they did when they won the Super Bowl. The Seattle Seahawks, whenever their lone Super Bowl. So just so you don't get confused, which Super Bowl I'm talking about, the only one Super Bowl that Seattle won, that one individual one Super Bowl win, not any of the other ones that they don't have. Not, I just don't want you to be confused. Anyway, I hopefully we got that. that was me throwing some trash. Anyway, a couple questions real quick before we flip the script and go to the other side of the ball for both teams. From Nick, after the last Rams game where we were, you know, screened to death for a ton of points, can we stop the Chiefs if they hit us with a ton of screens? You know, you go to that Rams game and we made adjustments in the third quarter to stop the bootleg and the screens, and it got much better. We've had a lot of success all year versus the screen game, but sometimes what we do is we put our linebackers in deep passing zones instead of manning up with the back. And again, if you remember the way in which we defeated that game against the Raven or against the Rams was when Fred Warner was manned up and just read the screen pass from Jared Goff like to a T and got his pick six and took it to the house, right? So they can keep going back to the well, but eventually there's a couple very simple defensive adjustments you make with your linebackers or with your defensive ends to take that out of the game plan. So I think early on you allow the screen game and you focus on stopping the big play, but if the Chiefs' narrative and their game plan goes to let's check down and just get positive plays, once they do that, then I think you make a couple of those adjustments. And there's going to be a little bit of guessing because every single defense breaks down at some point. You can't stop everything. You have to pick, okay, we're going to be great in this area. That's going to allow them some of this underneath stuff, which is the entire concept of the sky cover three, you know, that we run, that Robert Saleh runs. There's lots of different names for it, but you could check down underneath. You can run comeback routes on the outside, short out routes, speed outs from the slot. Those are routes that you can get versus this defense. But the problem is teams don't want to do that 13 times down the field. The patience just isn't there from a scheme caller. And guess what? All we got to do is just run one robber or one jump route, and then it's a pick. So you're risking. You can get it every now and then on like a third and six or a third and four. You can kind of get one of those just under the radar out routes. That's fine. But sooner or later, is that 6 yard out route going to be worth it if we jump that route for an interception? So that's kind of the design and the beauty for what they're trying to accomplish. From Mr. Superfly, is D Ford good to go? How many snaps do you see him going? D Ford was not even limited. 100% healthy off the entire injury list. There's nothing there. So he is 100% good to go. Against his former team, this is the reason you limited his snaps and you waited and you waited and you waited is so that D Ford can go nuts in the Super Bowl. He's averaged about 20 to 25 snaps a game whenever he's been active. I think he hits a year high for sure. I expect 40 snaps from D Ford, 40 plus. I want Bosa, Buckner, Armstead, Ford out there. Those guys all out there as much as possible. Obviously, you got to rotate in some defensive guys, but those four, they need to be out there as much as possible. So, a couple things. Andre, where are you this morning? Yeah, the Dolphin stuff in the back. That's right. Just borrowing a friend's. I wanted to make sure I got a good quality episode. I'm going to try to record later on at the event. But again, it's just been so crazy. And then, of course, they just infuse alcohol into everything. And so that makes it just that much more fun. yeah, so we've got a lot of stuff coming for you today. Now, let's jump back over now. And let's pay attention to let's stay with the 49ers, because I think this is what's going to help us is, you know, let's outline exactly what the 49ers offer on offense. Okay, one, you have the highest rated player in the entire NFL, regardless of position, 94.6 George Kittle, the highest graded tight end in the history of Pro Football Focus since they've been doing it. You know, you look at the top 10 seasons all time for tight end positions, and Gronk has five of the top 10. Kelce doesn't have one. He doesn't have one. Kelce's great, and he could have a great game, but to even put George Kittle and Kelce in the same category is very disrespectful. I really do believe that is something that you can't watch the games and say these two guys are in the same league. They're not. If you just look at box scores and reception scores and, you know, that kind of stuff, yes, you're right. From a receiving standpoint, they are very, very similar. But whenever you look at the entire game, I truly do believe this. George Kittle is the most pivotal player in the 49ers team. Everything goes through him. The run game, the reason why it's so successful is because it's like having an extra left tackle out there in the run game. I cannot wait for him to go against Frank Clark. That's going to be a battle. And I don't think Kittle's going to win every single matchup. Frank Clark is a hell of a player. So that's just going to be fun, because you talk about two completely opposing players and attitudes, but they both have a lot of energy, and that's just going to be one of the funnest matchups is George Kittle versus Frank Clark. Cannot wait to see that. And it's going to happen because we can leave our tight end one-on-one with one of their best defensive players, which we'll go over in a second. Now let's stay with it. Let's keep going through scores. Okay. Next up, you have Raheem Mostert, 81.8, and you can kind of see that drop off. And that's the thing about the 49ers offense. Everybody is just really, really good. You've got Kittle, who's the best, and then you've got a bunch of really, really good depth players, right? Mostert, 81.8. You've got Jimmy Garoppolo, 77.8. Joe Staley, 78.7. Samuel, 76.8. Sanders, 77.8. Garland, 71.4. McGlinchey, 69. Nice. Tomlinson, 67. Kendrick Bourne, 68.7. Mike Person, who's our lowest, 63.8. There's not one poorly graded player on the entire offense. It's a well-oiled machine. They keep going. You look at, you know, Mike Person, who is our lowest graded player, but he's been great. He ranks higher than four. Our lowest grader on offense ranks higher than four of the Chiefs starters on offense. And so talk about Patrick Mahomes all you want. I don't care. It's about a damn team. It doesn't matter if you're the best player, the best quarterback. That's not what it is. First off, the best player on the field is Kittle. I don't think it's close. But the quarterback position, if you want to talk about how valuable it is and all that stuff, that's fine. Go ahead and take that. That's fine. The solid team-building effort that Kyle Shanahan and John Lynch have put together, there are no weaknesses. There's none on this offense. And so that's fine. Stop the run. Let's say the Chiefs sell out and stop the run with their defense that we're about to go over. Awesome. Good job. We can still throw the ball. We have the tight end that holds the record for most receiving yards all time. We've got Deebo Samuel that will run over your safeties. We've got Emmanuel Sanders that runs some of the best routes in the NFL. Oh, by the way, we have a fullback. And I didn't even bring up, you know, Kyle Juszczyk, which you want to put him in there, is, again, 72.6. Solid and consistent throughout. It's just who they are. And it just works. It just works. Now, before I do the Chiefs defense, I do want to say thank you to MyBookie, who we've been betting with all year, MyBookie.ag, promo code 49ers, home of the most Super Bowl prop bets out there. You want to bet the over-under on how long the national anthem's going to be, color of the Gatorade shower, how many times they show a celebrity in the stands. They've got pages and pages and pages of those things. Me, I try to stick most of football as possible. I talked about this on the last podcast, but I wasn't sure if it got in and whatever else, and I've already pulled it from everywhere. But anyway, here's the thing. Richard Sherman to win the MVP, I totally can see that narrative. It's plus 4,000. So you bet five, you win $200 if Richard Sherman is the Super Bowl MVP. And again, you know, I really do like, I do think the 49ers are going to win if you listen to my prediction episode. But there's a way in which Richard Sherman gets an interception, makes a couple highlight reels. As long as that camera is on him, he is going to be active. And I could see the 49ers defense stepping up. And anyway, $5, win 200. Yeah, I really do like Raheem Mostert, Richard Sherman, or Bosa getting that Super Bowl MVP, and the odds are great for all of them. So you could literally just throw $5 down in each one, and huge payday if one of those guys hits. So head over there, mybookie.ag, use promo code 49ers, 49ERS, and they're going to double your initial deposit. So, all right, here we go. Now let's talk about, and I'm so glad I waited for this, because it is evident right off the bat. Let's talk about this Kansas City Chiefs defense, because you could talk about Patrick Mahomes all you want, and this is how you build teams, and this is how you don't build teams, all right? So here we go. Tyrann Mathieu, you could say defensive player of the year, wouldn't be upset. He's a hell of a player. He's going to be very active, could be responsible for covering Kittle a bunch of the times. He's going to be around the box. 76 great. Their best graded player, they're, you know, whatever, 76. The 49ers defense have 7 players rated above, 7 out of our 11 defensive starters rated ahead of their best defensive player. This is just a picture, a microcosm of why these two teams are not on the same level. Can Patrick Mahomes mask all of these deficiencies? Your best player is a 76. Then you drop down to their right tackle, Chris Jones. He's going to be playing a lot. Now, Chris Jones has been injured. And so I do think that he's probably their best player, especially on the inside. He's got an 84.3 grade, but again, he hasn't been starting. Is he back? Is calf and all that stuff fully healed? I think he'll be out there. But you know, as of right now, he has not taken starter snaps. He's kind of like Frank. He's kind of like D Ford for us, where he's just out there on pass rushing situations, but he should be healthier. I hope he's out there because I want the best possible performance, out there. But anyway, then you have Pennell, their defensive, tackle. He's got a 72.2 grade, and that's it. Nobody else on their defense is above a 70 grade. You got their linebacker, Reggie Ragland, 69.2. Sorensen, their free safety, who is he's going to be mismatched whoever he guards on this defense. Sorensen's going to be a problem. He's a hell of a player, but he's not a speed guy. He's a mental guy. So we'll see what happens. 61.5. But you go all the way across their let's just focus on their secondary. Their left corner, or right corner, if you're looking at it from a defensive perspective, Breshad Breeland, 51.9. Charvarius Ward, 67.2. There's just, they don't have great corners. Their defensive line's not great either. Naughty, 61.2, their defensive left tackle. And I'm going to mess this one up. Kepasongo, 53.5. That's the guy opposite of Frank Clark. Frank Clark, 63.9. Ooh, haven't seen a defensive end like me. Really? 63.9? You sure about that? And also we've played you 4 times over the last 2 years when you were with the Seattle Seahawks, whenever we had the same tackles. Anthony Hitchens, one of the worst graded linebackers in the NFL, just missed tackles everywhere, 46.3, and Wilson, 51.1. So, you know, that's all 11 starters for both teams, and it's a common theme. Whether it's offensively or defenses for the Chiefs, they got a couple elite players and then just a bunch of randoms. Just trying to make it work. Guys that fit their scheme that just aren't superstars that would not start for other teams. Breshad Breeland has been a corner for, I think, 4 separate teams, and nobody wants to keep him because of all the penalties. The Chiefs lead the NFL in defensive holding calls, pass interference, jumping off sides. They're very undisciplined. And I think that that's going to be the thing that we constantly see come tomorrow. So that's where we're at. I just want to say thanks again. Really do appreciate you guys listening. And I'm hoping to get another episode out early, not early, later today. Again, I know this is earlier. Everybody that's back home, I get it. But I want to give you the content. People keep asking for more questions and what's the difference. And again, just trying to kind of combat and stay with the idea of what makes the 49ers special and what makes the Chiefs special. And once you look at it, it's pretty simple. Again, couple elite guys for the Chiefs. The rest is just whatever. And then you have the 49ers, which is, I believe, the most complete team in the NFL. And I think number two would probably be the Saints. Again, great offense, great defense, but whatever. The Chiefs are not in that category as a complete NFL team. You can't do that. Superstars, and that masks a lot of deficiencies, but whenever you go up against a complete team that doesn't have holes, I think it's going to... they're going to be in for a surprise. I really do believe that. So, and last thing before we jump off, just again, thank you to BlueChew.com. Blue like the color chew, C-H-E-W.com. Head over there, promo code 49ers, 49ERS. And here's the deal. You guys know the story. They have supported this podcast and just want to say thank you for all year the support. The same active ingredients that are found in Viagra and Cialis, and it's in an edible form. And instead of going through the awkward doctor visits and all that kind of stuff, just go online, bluechew.com, use promo code 49ERS. You don't have to pay for the first order, just $5 for shipping. Comes out in a discreet package. Give it a shot. That way, whenever you're ready to use it, you're ready to go. You can take it anytime. It's chewable form too. So empty stomach doesn't matter. Late, early night, morning, whatever. It works. BlueChew.com, promo code 49ERS. Thank you guys so much, and have a great rest of your day. And hopefully, the next time you hear me, it will be because I'm next to Frank Gore screaming like a little girl, having a lot of fun. So thanks, guys. Appreciate all the support. And make sure you are following us everywhere, JL_Chapman on Twitter, IG, Instagram, 49ers Rush Podcast, we're everywhere. Thanks, guys. Really appreciate it. And we will be talking with you soon. And as always, stay strong, faithful.